Would you pray with me? Lord, may your word and not ours come with power and truth, that we would see in it the way to life, out of the offer of death that we so frequently follow after. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So at the beginning of the summer, I was given this text from a friend of mine who kept pushing me back to Psalm 1, saying that all it is that you are going through, make sure that you are resting in and paying attention to the words of Psalm 1. The way of righteousness, that whatever comes your way, Troy, whatever it is that you are forced to deal with, you recognize that there is, in fact, a way led by God that you can rest in, that you can trust in, and that you can be upheld in. And so, before our sermon series begins in a couple of weeks, I just thought I'd talk about this psalm, to pay attention to the way in which it's guided me, though not with much personal reflection, but just more theological interaction. What is it that this says to us in the life that we are called to lead in light of what God is doing in and through us? The Psalms, of course, are the prayer book of the Bible, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls it, and they're compiled, that is to say, it's like composing a hymn book. You get all the songs together and you decide which order they should be in based upon what theme. And this is precisely what we have in the book of Psalms. We have them collected and arranged by various themes, like the Psalms of David, the Psalms of Ascent, or the songs they would sing as they marched up to Jerusalem every year for Passover. And there'd be other psalms that, interestingly, you wouldn't, or surprising, I just forgot about one of these. Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. So that's just kind of one was floating around as a prayer that got put in the book and done in such a way that it made sense for the way in which they worshiped. Psalm 1 is thought to be the last one composed, but the first one put in it at the very front. So it doesn't mean it's the oldest. It means it just sets the stage for how it is you walk through the rest of the Psalms. And Psalm 1 is a very clear one about the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked, the way to life and the way to death, and how it is that the people of God are meant to walk in this way. And the way in which this psalm unfolds is it says, blessed is the one, and then it describes what they shouldn't be doing. Blessed is the one that does not, and it lists them out, walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that sinners take, sit in the company of mockers. Describes the very actions that we all engage in, walking, standing, sitting. And each one is important, that when it talks about, first of all, walking in step with the wicked, another translation would say walk in the counsel of the wicked. We all know what that means. It's kind of moving in step with a group of folks who we are a part of and we make poor choices in. This is to say how it is that we are moving forward is in such a way that we are engaging in behavior we know that is not right, not helpful for us, not what it is that we are called to be about. Because we know that that kind of company begins to give advice in ways that are contradictory to what is life-giving. We tend to be kind of an echo chamber of what it is that we want to do all along. And we are just affirmed in describing what it is that we think would be the way to our happiness, the way to our lives. And the psalmist says this, that we are not to walk in this way and counsel with one another. That's just us listening to our own voices, in essence. We should not be impressed, actually, with the voices of those that simply tell us with what we want to hear. It also describes standing in the way that sinners take. That is to say that we just kind of stand still and we are beginning to embrace the life that we know, again, is not healthy for us. Standing around and making, as Eugene Peterson calls it, small talk. Standing in the way of sinners, he says, is those who make plans, dream up projects, are great conversationalists, but if we listen long enough, they are just simply a bunch of hot air. Standing around. And then finally, it stands that we look at the seat of the scoffer, someone who sits and mocks. So our translation has mockers, another translation has scoffers. It's one where all this kind of behavior has been kind of hardened into a person who simply looks down on others. Someone who makes judgments and decisions. And it becomes a place of cynicism, a place of gossip, a place of superficial witticisms. And what Eugene Peterson describes here is that these three rejected ways of living is a descent. It's interesting. You go from walking to standing and finally to sitting. You go from activity to passivity, from dynamic to the sedentary, to sluggish immobility and internal imprisonment. It's simply moving lower and lower as you go along. The movement from wicked to sinners to scoffers is from the bad actor to the habitual wrongdoer to the person who is fixed in his ways and looks down on everyone else. What seems to be so life-giving eventually becomes something that simply paralyzes. But the one, however, whose delight is in the law of the Lord begins to take a different shape. It's not walking in step or standing around or sitting. It's one who looks at God's words and chews on them, who really begins to think through what it is. They come to a point in a realization that their own words are not life-giving. It comes to a point in a realization that what we think is meant for our happiness is actually the very thing that leads to our own destruction. What we think will make us free is the very thing that imprisons us. What we think are choices that are inconsequential are actually choices that have great and lasting damage, that require years of working through to recover from. And therefore, this person is one who begins to get tired of their own words, get tired of listening to the hot air that comes their way from mouths that lack wisdom, from company that lacks discernment, and from scoffing that lacks any sense of the depth of love and grace. It just becomes hardened. This person, the psalmist says, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which is a really vivid image in the Palestinian countryside. When you see a firm tree standing by a stream of water, it has this real deep image of security, image of health, image of strength. It's no surprise that the image of tree begins in the garden and goes all the way through, even to Jesus talking about trees producing fruit and seeing in strength to the tree in Revelation. The tree is this symbol of something that can withstand all that is thrown at it. I don't know how many years ago this was, but in Arizona, kind of natural scientists decided to produce this kind of internal biosphere where they were going to create a garden, as it were, a deep garden of trees and plants and water flowing through, and without any of the disadvantages of the outside world. It literally was a bubble in which they wanted to produce the most beautiful and perfect garden, only to realize that after time, things like fruit popping up on the branch actually broke it branch straight off. And trees, without any wind, just falling over inside. And they had this realization that they could not produce a garden in idyllic circumstances, that they actually needed wind to strengthen the roots of the trees, that they actually needed seasons to produce the kind of depth of the cycle of fruit bearing that the tree needed. The very thing is happening here in this psalm, is that our lives are such that we are formed and fashioned by the winds that come our way, where the erosion of the stream around us, where we have the heat, the searing heat and the debilitating cold going on. And yet, the one who is firmly seeking God's wisdom in his law is one who stands through this, through thick and through thin. Whatever they do prospers. They are not spared struggles. They are not spared heartache. They are not given a life without anything that would need the desperation of prayer or the confusion of faith. They are simply those who, despite how they feel, trust in a word that is beyond their own. And therefore we have this life of stability, health, growth, and strength through all these seasons. Now, why is this important? Because there is a way to life and a way to death in this psalm. And the most vivid image here is in verse 4, is that the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. What is chaff? Chaff is a hardened, dead husk of something that once was alive. It's something that once was living that has now just become dead and dry and without any anchor. And it just is like sawdust that blows away. And it's a terrifying description of where the life of walking and standing and sitting in the midst of evil leads. Eugene Peterson writes this, is that the men and women we started out with who made such a display of walking, standing, and sitting are now, when it matters, unable to do any of that. They move from actually walking, standing, and sitting, now they're totally without substance and strength. And T.S. Eliot, changing the image slightly, provides a similar conclusion to this kind of non-life in his poem, The Hollow Men, describing them as shape without form, shade without color, paralyzed force, gesture without motion. And Eugene Peterson concludes, the terrifying conclusion to the life of the wicked sinner scoffer is the complete inability to be anything. Floating away like chaff. Now you might be asking this, what about the way of Jesus in this life? For he did not avoid the wicked. He did not reject the sinner. He did not stand way aside from the mocker. For the mocker was right at the foot of where he was. There is a difference with the person who is standing firmly in the Word of God, who trusts in His truth, and in so doing knows the grace, the depths of the grace and the love and the mercy of God, who can stand alongside those who are not being who they were made to be and who deeply know they are not who they want to be, than those who simply have given up the ghost, have turned themselves in and decided to walk in step and stand and sit in a life they know is not for them. The person who is righteous in this psalm is not the good person who never does anything wrong. The way of the righteous here is not the person who simply can say at the end of their life, I've had really far more good to me than bad. The way of the righteous here is not simply a life of credits and debits, where we, as we know, have earned what is given to us. The way of the righteous is actually the way of grace, in which God does in and through us what we cannot do for ourselves. And it is simply the realization of an individual to recognize that the way in which they're walking and standing and sitting is actually the decision to be who they deeply don't want to be. And they surrender themselves to the only one who can, in fact, in the end, change that. We don't want to become like chaff, where we can no longer actually be anything. We want to be who God calls us to be. And therefore the promise is this, that the Lord is the one who will watch over the way of the righteous. Psalm 121, the Lord watches out, you're going out and you're coming in now and forevermore. The Lord is the one who in fact carries the burdens that you cannot carry on your own, for his yoke is easy. He is the one who wants to release the burdens upon your own life. And therefore, the way of righteousness is the way of Jesus. It is not the way of becoming as it were, religious, so that we can simply, at the end of the day, look at all my good deeds. It is actually the way of surrender. It is the way of trusting in a strength beyond our own. It is knowing that we are to seek first not our own life, but His. He who would save his life must lose it, Jesus will say. And Jesus will also say, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Do you long for the good life? Do you long for a life in which you are like a tree who will not be moved? Do you long for a life that is far above the hot air of the council of stupidity? That is far more meaningful than sitting in mockery, that is actually given to a life in which you get to be used by God for great things on His behalf. Do you recognize that you may not be who you want to be? Then seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things that you have longed for, all the things that you have dreamed of, will actually be added to you in ways you could not have imagined, in ways that you could not have foreseen, and with a depth that you could not have planned. Because you are walking in the One who loves to give good gifts to His children. It is the pathway of Jesus. It is the pathway of humility. It is the pathway of surrender. But it is the pathway of righteousness that is secure and not floating in the wind. Psalm 1 gets our feet on the way of Jesus. Reading and meditating on the Scriptures in a companionship in which we acquire a feel for the Jesus way of blessing. Let's pray.